Earnings came out for the fourth quarter from Southwest Airlines today. Predictably, they were not good. They were actually, though, better than expected. They lost less money than expected, but it was a milestone in that it was the first yearly loss since 1972. Gary Kelly is CEO of Southwest Airlines and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
It's always great to be with you, David, even after results like those.
You know, I mean, completely understandable. What about, do you have any sense of what the future holds? Do you have any sense of what 2021 is? Because none of us do.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a humbling year, but, you know, at the same time, very inspiring to see what our people accomplished and how they responded to the challenges, which, again, were just unprecedented. It just goes to show that even Southwest isn't immune to this pandemic, but it just goes on and on. And I think of course, we're into 2021, and we've got every reason to be hopeful and optimistic. We've got the vaccine. We've got the vaccination process underway. We've seen the case counts spike here in the wintertime, but they seem to be coming down. And, all the research that we do shows that there's significant pent-up demand for travel, especially for leisure travel right now. We just need the economy to open up. We need sporting events. We need ski resorts at full capacity, restaurants, Broadway shows, theme parks, on and on, to give people, a reason to get up and go.
Yeah, you made this point early on that you've got to have some place to go. You've got to have some incentive to get on an airplane and do something other than, I guess, just go visit grandma. And grandma doesn't want to see you until you got a vaccine.
That's right. So that, I think this is the year of transition that we get, we head back towards normal. And I don't know any more than anybody else does about when that might be. But I think, I'm very confident that we'll beat the pandemic. And I think it's the beginning of the end. And obviously, we're all looking very forward to that.
You've made moves here that have pivoted your airline back toward the consumer under the assumption that corporate travel is going to be much slower to come back. And you started, Hilo and Cozumel and Miami and some ski places, Telluride and Steamboat Springs, Crested Butte in Colorado. Is that working? Is it attracting some off-peak travel?
It is working in the sense that we have idle airplanes. We have idle employees. And so we're putting those people in those airplanes to work in new markets where we can win new customers and generate some incremental traffic and revenues. We don't need a whole lot at this stage to be cash positive. We need to cover the incremental fuel and some incremental payroll cost, and that's about it, because we're already paying for the airplane, as an example. We're already paying for the airport. So that is generating cash with all these new destinations. But conversely, David, if you think about a traditional Southwest route like Dallas to Houston, there's no reason to add more seats or flights into that market right now. We won't generate any more traffic by adding another flight. So good for us that we have some options to add routes in this environment, but it's not going to make the difference between losing money and making money. We've got to see our traffic roughly double from where we are, and revenues come along with that, and that's our salvation here to get out of this funk. And that's not going to happen until the pandemic gets behind us. So in the meantime, we just need to do everything we can to mitigate the cash burn and keep our balance sheet healthy. We're doing those things. Make sure that we offer a great product for our customers. We're doing that, and I'm excited. I think that we're very, very well positioned. It is a competition. We're beating our competitors across the board, and when this turns, we'll be ready and we'll respond, and we'll respond very quickly.
Yeah, it used to create tremendous excitement in a market when Southwest announced it was going to come in. Big headlines and parties, and I know there were petitions to try to get you to come into markets. So you're going into O'Hare, you're going into Colorado Springs, in Savannah, Fresno, you're going into Jackson, Mississippi. Do you think you're going to be met with open arms?
Oh, absolutely. Not by our competition, but certainly by the communities, and have been. All of that, of course, was the groundwork was done in advance, and I was personally involved in some of those examples, and they're delighted to have us. And I think everybody understands that right now the travel response is muted. But they know that we'll get past this, and then they know that they'll have Southwest Airlines, and they know what we bring. We're going to bring flights. We're going to bring low fares. We're going to bring great service and more competition. And communities have benefited for 50 years by Southwest service. And I'm just proud of the fact that we can offer that and never take for granted that communities want our service. I mean, that's a great thing.
You really surprised me when we talked, I think it was 6 months ago. And at the time you said, as to corporate travel, it might be 5, realistically, maybe 10 years before it gets back where it was. You stand by that? Is that still true, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, if you go back 6 months, nobody really knew how long this pandemic would last, and you had predictions that, well, it'll be gone by the fall and what have you. And of course, now we know well that it's a long, long journey to get out of this. And so I think by extension, I think predicting the business travel side of things becomes easier. Companies have changed their habits, and obviously the pandemic is still raging, but we've got opportunities that are unique to Southwest to mitigate that, because we've launched a new corporate product through the global distribution systems and just signed up Sabre, as I'm sure you saw, David, right at the end of the year. We don't get our fair share of large corporate customers because we've never been participants in their computer systems,
right.
These GDSs, and now we are, and that's been the domain of the three legacy airlines with very high fares, and so now they're going to have real serious competition. So we'll be winning new corporate customers just at the time that we need it to offset some of the other sluggishness, if you will, in the business travel market, and I'm excited about that. So we've got a couple of good new revenue streams coming online with new routes and the corporate GDS. And again, gives us a good cause for being optimistic and hopeful about our future.
The last thing you need is more capacity right now. And you've got all the 737 MAXs parked and more on order. But at least they're a lot more fuel efficient. So when you're flying, you're going to burn less money. Are you eager to get those back in the air?
Very eager, and March 11 is our date that the 737-8, the MAX version that we currently operate, will be back in service. So you may have noted in our release that we early retired 20 of our older 737-700 aircraft just because, again, we're in a surplus position. So, we don't need to increment the fleet right now, but we can easily fly a new MAX fuel-efficient airplane in lieu of one of our older, less efficient airplanes and certainly optimize our costs that way.
You have to look far ahead in planning, and especially when it gets to equipment, and you've been a 737 airline from the day one, you know, from the beginning of the airline. But the last time around, you were looking for something else, and maybe some airplanes with smaller capacity, this Airbus product that Delta's been flying, the 220, would seem to fit. Is that still something that you're looking at for for smaller markets?
It is, and I would just to be fair to your question, I'd say it's something we're still open to, as opposed to actively looking at it. The 737 family meets our needs. So the 737-8 has 175 seats in our configuration, and that is the max version that that you and our customers are familiar with. The 737-7 is a smaller aircraft and comes in our configuration with 150 seats, and we are still negotiating with Boeing on that product. It's not yet certified with the grounding of the MAX going back to 2019, so there's work to be done there. So we're working with Boeing right now to see if we can't get settled up on our future with that airplane, and if we fail to do that, then the Airbus A220 that you were referring to would be an alternative for us to consider. But stay tuned on that, and we definitely, in terms of long-term planning, we would want our fleet to be a mixture of the 175-seater and the smaller 140 to 150-seater, if you will. I would like for us to stay all Boeing, and you know, that's our objective here.
What one last thing? There seems to be a big carrot dangling at the end of the stick up in Washington, D.C. as part of this $1.9 trillion package that they're kicking around. There's an important component in there for your industry, isn't there?
Well, we've had payroll support from the federal government in two different tranches, as you know. The payroll support program, as it's officially called in the original CARES Act, and then payroll support two that came out just at the end of the year. And we've still not had furloughs, we've not had layoffs, we've not had pay cuts, and that's a 50-year run for us. I'm very, very proud of that. But without the government stimulus from last year, our country would be in a depression, and certainly the airlines would be in a far different situation. So we're not out of the woods yet. And even with that, we still, as you know from our report, we still lost $3.5 billion last year. So it certainly wasn't sufficient to wipe out our losses. So, yeah, that's a consideration and something that Democratic leadership has reached out to the industry to talk about. And, you know, so we're just beginning to, to look at that. But, you know, it's another one of those that I think we just have to stay tuned and see where this whole stimulus package ends up.
Yeah, it's probably not coming anytime soon, I would think. Well, congratulations on a not as bad as expected fourth quarter. Maybe we can leave it at that. And quickly, one of your competitors, American Airlines, is going into the wine business. You're not going in the wine business, are you?
Well, you know, we don't have an inventory of wine like they do. So, but you know, good for them. What a great revenue generating idea! It won't make the difference, but every little bit counts.
Well, and actually, one of your prior CEOs became the largest liquor distributor in the state of Texas. You give us a bottle of Chevy's or Jack Daniel's if we flew your airline. Something to think about. I'm just saying something to think about. And bribery usually works.
Back to the future. To the future. I like it, David.
Gary Kelly, CEO of Southwest Airlines. We always appreciate the conversation. Thank you, sir.
Always great to be with you, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. Kelly, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.